Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd.
This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to all the guys in the wheelhouse for the shout-out here promoting the fact that Soccer Matters was coming up. A huge happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. Welcome into Soccer Matters tonight. We are lovers of the world's game, the beautiful game. And tonight, as always, we stream at ESPN975.com. By the way, hit me up on Twitter throughout the show with any of your questions, ideas. If you don't want to call in, you can call in at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. But you can also hit me up on Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock or at Soccer Matters GD. Tonight, all the music is going to have shape, form, fashion of connection to Valentine's Day. I had a fun time putting the break music together tonight, so we hope you enjoy that. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. You know what? You could even hit me up on Twitter with your favorite sort of Valentine slash love songs. And they can be, I put a lot of different genres. I'm just going to tell you this. I put a lot of different genres in our break music, Valentine's Day music tonight. So love to hear what you're thinking and some of the songs you are. You know, a couple of mine have definitely a rock edge, but there's some throwback stuff in there. As well. And it's not, I mean, the amount of things I omitted, it's ridiculous, but that's what we got. All right, Champions League today, Liverpool winning the Merseyside Derby, Dynamo opener 11-12 days away in Major League Soccer. We will have on the head coach, Ben Olsen. He will be on the show tonight. This is an extensive interview. This is everything from game model to wants and desires from Hector Herrera this year, down to versatility and attack. A lot of good stuff. Ben Olsen and I had about, I think this is, Andrew, correct me, but I think this is closer to 25 minutes than 20. Is that right?
Yes, it's over 25 minutes, actually, if we just talk about the entire content of it. It's over 25 minutes with Ben Olsen.
Yeah, so we'll break it up into a part one and part two. So looking forward to getting your reaction to that interview. Is there enough talk about the Houston Dynamo right now? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. I'll also take your thoughts on the Champions League. Tomorrow there is more Champions League. Borussia Dortmund, Chelsea, Bruges of Belgium, and Benfica of Portugal. But I have a feeling the man behind the glass, Andrew Carlson, and myself, we are going to be tuned in to this little Premier League match between Arsenal and Manchester City. So, Andrew, nerves right now around that one for you as a huge Arsenal fan?
Nerves might be an understatement, Glenn. This is probably the most important Premier League game that Arsenal have played in 14, 15 years. I mean, since we're talking since 07, 08, the last time they were legitimately in contention this deep into the season for the title. Now, you can argue the season a few years ago where Leicester ended up winning, that they had some important games down the stretch as well. But it never had that same feel that it was Arsenal's year to lose potentially as it did 14, 15 years ago in 07, 08. So this for me is the biggest game that Arsenal have played in the Premier League in over a decade. And look, you've got every storyline you could possibly want. You know, the master versus the apprentice, the young team versus the established, you know, superstars of Manchester City. It doesn't get any better than this. This is what you support teams for. This is what you watch the sport to enjoy. And I'm going to be nervous as hell, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you think Arteta might pull, you know, I love that you brought up the master versus his former assistant, Mikel Arteta. Do you think Arteta possibly pulls off his tactics slightly in any area for City, or is it just basically City and Arteta, who have a lot of the same ideas? You see a lot of key pieces when it comes to the way they want to play, their game model, their purpose of play, whatever you want to call it. But do you know, if anybody changes, who could it be? And we all know that. Look, Pep Guardiola is also a guy that tinkers a lot, and I think there might be some little wrinkles tomorrow that might be of real interest.
I think there could be wrinkles, but I'm going to be 100% honest. I would be somewhat surprised if it's from the Arsenal side. Arsenal have named the most consistent starting 11s out of every team in the Premier League. Now, part of that is necessity because they don't have a ton of depth, but outside of some small tactical adjustments that he's asking of the players on the field, I don't expect at least that there's going to be a ton different from what Arsenal plan to do. Mikel Arteta has always been massive on, we're going to go and play our style of football, and he did it at the end of the season last year when they lost their chance to go to win and head to the Champions League. They went away to Newcastle, they went away to Tottenham, and they played their football, and you know what? It ended up costing them. But Arteta's been very big on, you know what, if we're going to go out, we're going to go out playing our style. We're not going to adjust to anybody else. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see if he sticks to that tomorrow.
All right. Anybody out there have any comments on Arsenal and Man City tomorrow? Let's hear it. 713-780-3776. All right. I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm also a very frustrated man, and I'm going to tell for full disclosure here. Andrew knows I was not supposed to be here this week. I was supposed to be in Spain leaving on Monday, and unfortunately I got sick. I don't have COVID, but a lot of different symptoms. But I am. It's a good thing I'm by myself in a padded room right now doing this show from home in my studio, because to think I would have been at the Real Madrid Elche game tomorrow, then take a train to Spain for the Europa League, Manchester United, Barcelona at the Nou Camp, and then again be there on Sunday in those two cities, Madrid and Spain. It's absolutely killing me. And, you know, I got credentialed in certain places. It's a bummer. And I was going to one-up John Granato, you know, because we got the photo from Granato. I was going to wait till before the game at Madrid or Barcelona and just say, Granato, anything you can do, I can do it better. Looks like I'm going to be watching a lot of these games on TV as opposed to actually being there. So that's a little bit rough. We're going to get back to more Arsenal-Manchester City talk in the next segment with Andrew. But I want to kind of get us up to date on what happened in the Champions League today. By the way, another one of our guests on the show tonight, you know, this show has always been a show where it's very important for me to show off the riches of our Houston soccer community. And we've had ex-professional soccer players in Europe and people that have gotten into great levels of coaching, you know, all young men and women that grew up on the fields of Houston, Texas. And we need to do a better job of telling these stories. Well, we got one tonight, and we're going to do an interview with the University of Houston head coach, Cougars coach, Jaime Frias. He's a former youth player, Bear Creek United. He played also under me at the Hurricane Soccer Club. But Jaime's a tremendous story. He's now the head coach there. It's kind of come full circle for him. He was the under-18 and under-16 U.S. Women's National Team coach as well. He's worked under Steve Swanson at Virginia, winning national titles. And he's back here. And I just think it's a fantastic story of a player that grew up in the Houston area. He's got Houston roots. Got the basics of his game in this town and the platform to go on to be a college player and then take his coaching to all levels. So it's a really interesting interview. I think you're really going to like it. And it's great to see him continuing to do work and try to continue to forward the U of H Cougar women's soccer program in a city where you also have a professional team in the Houston Dash. So a lot of good things going there. But let's go to Champions League today. Milan gets a 1-0 victory over Spurs in Milan. It is Milan getting a goal from Brahim Diaz, and this would ultimately be the difference in this one.
Joe Hernandez, who gets a time bounce off of Romero, tries his luck. Forster, and there's Brahim Diaz. Second effort, Milan breakthrough. A breakdown at the back by Spurs, and it's punished by Brahim Diaz.
Second leg will be at Tottenham. Spurs had a hard time servicing their striker, Harry Kane, today. So Milan will go back, will go to Spurs with a 1-0 advantage after the first leg. Let's go on to, we had, what was the game that I watched today? And it was a very, very interesting match. PSG took on, PSG was at home against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich dominated this game. Honestly, should have been up 2-0. Kingsley Coman would get the goal in this one that would provide the difference, a 1-0 victory.
Davies. And here's a chance for Coman! But he's not going to celebrate because he's from Paris. And he learned his football with Paris Saint-Germain. But he scored another crucial goal against them.
So that was the game winner. They would hit a crossbar. I mean, look, this was a dominated game. Bayern Munich dominated this game until Kylian Mbappe came into the game. Now, by the way, the first 60 minutes, Neymar was an absolute nightmare. Could not hold the ball, could not beat anybody, seemed out on an island. Now, remember, he's been under some criticism during the week. Both teams came into this with big-name players causing some off-field stuff. Manuel Neuer for Bayern Munich, Neymar with PSG. And, of course, Neymar, you know, was quoted about something that happened in a locker room. It was tweaked information that came out of a locker room with a director and a clash with a director, but there's stuff brewing there. And I want you to understand, and I think we all should understand, that when you hear everything is great in our locker room, it's not always great. And, you know, there's a face you put on for the press and there's what's actually going on. This one got leaked out. So Neymar says, it's like with my girlfriend. Football isn't just love and friendship. There is respect, but there have to be disagreements and discussions, and sometimes they are needed to help you improve. So that's what Neymar said about this locker room disagreement. He kind of downplayed it, and he may be right for all we know. All we know is, though, today his performance was poor. There's people saying they should get rid of him. He improved when Mbappe came on the field, which probably everybody did as well. They became more dangerous, and frankly, PSG could have tied a game that, you know, Bayern Munich really had controlled through possession. Probably didn't create all the chances they want. Jamal Musiala absolutely torched Mendes, got in a cross, and I think it was Choupo-Moting or somebody hit a post. But I will tell you this. I think PSG, with injuries and, you know, Mbappe coming back, this is not a bad result for them. The soccer played at home wasn't great. Losing at home is not great. But to go back to Bayern with Mbappe and this level of star, and by the way, you notice I did not mention Lionel Messi, who was ghost-like. To go back to Bayern, you're not as in bad a shape as maybe you should have been after being dominated for, you know, easily two-thirds plus of this game. This is a sad one out of Belgium. Goalkeeper Arne Espiel collapsed. He died on the pitch Saturday after saving a penalty kick. Espiel played on a provincial team called Winkel Sport B in Belgium. He saved the penalty, dropped to the ground. Emergency services rushed on the field to help him with a defibrillator. He was later pronounced dead after being taken to the hospital. I mean, it's just bad. These are tough things to think about. So young, so sad. I go back to the Damar Hamlin NFL incident while playing for the Buffalo Bills, where he was revived on national TV, and we all saw this, and it just gripped at our heart. A lot of incidents have happened with soccer players on the field. passing. Remember in 2003, one of the most high profile was Mark Vivian Foe, who at the time was playing for Cameroon. Had a heart attack on the field. But many from the world of football. This is a Reverend Al. Reverend Al Green. Now this is Valentine's music. I don't think there's any question about this. So the Reverend Al Green, you could probably go down to Louisiana and watch him do a sermon. Beautiful song. How about some empanadas on Valentine's Day? Little Patagonia Empanadas Cafe, 5393 Westheimer in the Galleria, right near our station. Mouth-watering empanadas. They're packed with beef, lamb, chicken, pork, venison. If you got a sweet tooth, guava, strawberry, Nutella. So many choices. It's Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. Has a wonderful Argentine vibe. Coffees, espresso, everything Argentina in there. Order them, pick them up, take them back home to your office. You'll be loved. DoorDash, Uber Eats. It is Little Patagonia Empanadas. We're coming back with winners and losers, and I'm going to continue on with a little bit more talk on today's PSG Bayern game. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. We're on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner.
The winner takes it all. You know you're looking at a winner, winner, winner.
Cause we're a winner. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
With hot chocolate. Everyone's a winner. What a great song. All right, so my winner is, believe it or not, and they haven't played tomorrow, but it is Arsenal, because Arsenal has a big champagne problem right now. The champagne problem comes through the name of Folarin Balogun. He's an Arsenal player, came up through the Arsenal Academy. He is a leading goal scorer on loan with Reims in French League, I could say one or un, French League One. Okay? Scoring more goals than the likes of Messi, Mbappe, and Neymar. He was born in New York. Ah, and you're saying New York. Okay, so that makes him eligible for the United States national team, Nigeria, and England. Now, he's represented England at the youth level. They have a champagne problem with this kid. Gabriel Jesus, acquired from City, coming back from injury. Nketiah has filled in nicely. So they're going to have to figure out what to do with this young man, Folarin Balogun. Because if they sell him, his value is shooting through the roof right now. So, it's a champagne problem. It's a winner, because champagne problems are winners. That means you've got options. And if they were to sell him, they could cash in financially and or could stick around and compete. But he's going to want to play. He's scoring goals for Reims, and I know you would like that one, Andrew. That is a great problem to have. That's ahead of Arsenal and Manchester City tomorrow, a big one in the Premier League. Any thoughts on Balogun?
Oh, he's a fantastic prospect, Glenn. He's been talked about in the Arsenal Academy for, I've heard his name floated about for at least 5 years now. I mean, he has been someone who they have had extremely high hopes and expectations for since he was a teenager. And obviously, he hasn't fulfilled those dreams in Arsenal colors just yet, but I think that this loan has gone beyond anyone's wildest expectations in terms of how he's performed over in France. And I think that there's a decent portion of the Arsenal fan base that would like to see him come back and supplant Nketiah and be the team's second choice. Frankly, I don't think that that's really an option. I think he's still in that stage of his career where he needs to be playing consistent football to continue developing and to play as many games. We're talking 30, 40-plus games a season. I think that's the best way to get these guys to develop. And I would love to see him make it and continue at Arsenal, because who doesn't love to see academy projects become, you know, bona fide star players for their teams? But it's going to be very, very difficult to find space for him. My best guess would be he probably ends up going out on loan to a Premier League club next season. But I would love to see him make it.
Yeah, he's only 21 years of age. I think he is making it. I don't think that's going to be a question. It's just about the moves he makes in his career now. And, boy, it's great when a fan base also has something like this on the side that they're paying attention to, right? Because, you know, Arsenal fans are tuning in to games when Rems plays to keep an eye on what he's doing and the success he's having in French League One. So, fantastic. Another quick one here. This one's kind of funny. So Grimsby fans are playing away to Southampton in the FA Cup fifth round. So one of their things is they have these inflatable fish mascots. Harry the Haddock. Haddock is a fish, as everybody knows. So there's been some funny back and forth about this with Grimsby fans who are told that they will not be able to bring their inflatable fish to the fifth round match against Southampton. And some of the tweets were funny. Here's one that where a guy says, quote, "The football world has officially gone mad. At Southampton have officially banned the legendary small fish, Harry Haddock. You couldn't make this up." And, you know, and then he goes on, he says, "With the problems at Southampton, I'd have thought they would have had bigger fish to fry." All right, so there you go. Good stuff there. Hey, by the way, big news yesterday. Ugo's collaboration with the Houston Dynamo. Now, I've been going to Ugo's since it opened on Westheimer. And you know I've been on this show and I've said, we got to do something about the food selections at now the Shell Energy Stadium. It was BBVA. We need food trucks out there, and it seems like the Dynamo are going to be doing that. And they're going to go in collaboration with Hugo Ortega, who's also got Catacol and Sochi, all these great restaurants. But this is authentic, real Mexican food. This is not Tex-Mex. So we will that's going to be really interesting to see how that's served up. And I don't think Hugo's is going to get into something at a stadium without it being something pretty special. You know, Austin FC did this too with Valentina's Barbecue, which is exceptional. So very cool. Nice little additional touch. Like I said, we'll have Ben Olsen talking the competitive side of the club a little bit later on tonight. All right, so back to PSG and Bayern Munich today. Bayern possession was dominant. PSG set out to defend deep, and they had Neymar and Messi up front, which, I mean, Messi was starved of the ball. Neymar continued to lose the ball consistently. You know, Neymar and Messi up front are a lot different without Kylian Mbappe on the field. I mean, I don't think there's any question with that. I will say Bayern had a bit of a struggle trying to play through PSG. They defended so deep. Sergio Ramos was loving it because, you know, he could just stand in the middle and defend. PSG had little possession. I mean, it's almost embarrassing. But, you know, they elected to give the ball to Bayern and try and get a magical moment through Neymar or Lionel Messi. I told you about that 63rd-minute Musiala touch that just absolutely destroyed Mendes, left him like 5 yards behind him. He got across. Choupo-Moting went off the crossbar. Neymar consistently lost the ball in really high areas of the field, which, man, it was just kind of weird. And he's really off. Got a little bit better when Mbappe got on the field. And Messi then had a chance. Fitinha had a chance. I think Fitinha came off the bench as well. Pavard got sent off, so he's going to miss the next leg. Completely missed the ball on a tackle with Messi just outside the box. But, you know, you're kind of sitting here going, are we going against Neymar and Kylian Mbappe in this game? Now, of course, Neymar came off the bench in this. Bayern Munich has been playing better. They had a rough start. So they made a really critical signing in getting Jan Sommer from Borussia Mönchengladbach with Manuel Neuer getting injured. I think it was a skiing accident. So anyway, Bayern started with Sommer, Pavard, Upamecano, who was not good on the ball, the light. So as a lateral out wide, they had Coman, who scored the goal from there, Cancelo on loan from City, Kimmich, Goretzka, great players, Sané, Musiala, and then Choupo-Moting up front. So they're missing a number nine. They don't have a traditional nine. They don't have a finisher. They haven't replaced, as talented as Choupo-Moting is, they haven't replaced Robert Lewandowski. Now, PSG set out to defend deep. Donnarumma in goal, Mendes and Hakimi out wide. You know Hakimi from the World Cup. Ramos and Marquinhos in the middle. Soler on the left. Danilo and Verratti, the Italian, in the middle. And then they started a kid, Zaire Emery, who's going to be 17 on March 8th. Imagine that. Andrew Carlson, my great producer, what were you doing at 16? I don't think you were starting in a Champions League match, were you?
I was busy trying to not go to school at Bel Air High School, Glenn. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to find any excuse to not be in class at 16.
Yeah, I heard you were a troublemaker growing up.
Always.
Is that true? I got some tips from Michael Carroll about you growing up.
Look, I won't confirm or deny. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
There you go. Neymar and Messi were up front, like I said, and they were really left on an island. So the 53rd minute goal from Coman, that was the difference. And, you know, it was kind of an interesting game. A lot of people will say it was pretty boring. The day before, we had Liverpool and Everton, and Liverpool started it off. This was an amazing counterattack goal. Mo Salah would get it. This was after Everton had hit the post. And, I mean, if we had Thin Lizzy and the song Jailbreak, this is what this was, because Liverpool just took off flying, and Mo Salah would ultimately get the goal. Darwin Nunez led the counterattack, and it was like somebody shot a gun at a race. It was like watching Carl Lewis and everybody running over at U of H. The commitment, the running, the sprinting with Everton captive in the Liverpool box and hesitating after hitting the post. This was an amazing goal. Here's what it sounded like.
Away by Nunez. Salah. Nunez. Liverpool have 3-on-2 here. 4-on-2 here. Nunez. And Salah! That is blink of an eye brilliant.
It was a tricky game against Everton, who was coming off a high of a win the weekend prior. And then you had the first ever goal for Cody Gakpo. They got him from the Netherlands. We remember him here in the U.S. Playing for the Netherlands against the U.S. when the U.S. got eliminated. This was his first Liverpool goal. It would make it 2-0 Liverpool.
Robertson is scampering. Salah is feasting on space. Alexander-Arnold is galloping beyond him. Alexander-Arnold, Gakpo! Fully fledged red.
So Jurgen Klopp, it's been a rough go this year. We could talk about that. I don't think we're going to get into that heavy right now, but here's what he had to say after the game.
Relieved. Yeah, that's it. That was the main feeling since the final whistle. Happy with the performance. It was necessary that we played tonight the game we wanted to play and not the game Everton wants to play. You cannot avoid that all the time. But I think they didn't have a extremely high number of set pieces. So with all the aggressiveness you have to show, you have to make sure you don't overdo it, because each set piece is a massive threat and is something they want to have. And I thought we did that really well. On top of that, we were super dominant, switched the sides, played the ball, kept them running. But both goals came from counter-attack, so that's allowed as well, obviously. And yeah, I love both goals. Love the involvement of everybody who was around there. We had, for both goals, we had three options in the box, I think, when the pass came in. And so, yeah, a lot of things were different tonight. So it was the best game for a while, and that's why we won it.
So there was a happy Jurgen Klopp. It's been a really up-and-down season for Liverpool. All right, Manchester United 2-0 over Leeds after the 2-2 draw at Old Trafford. This was a game that Leeds, tackles were flying. I don't know if we know in this country, unless you're from England, or you've done a deep dive on this rivalry, because Leeds has been down in the championship a lot. The history, but this is a hated rivalry. I'm not going to pull any punches here. Tackles were flying. Tyler Adams laid out. I'm trying to remember who he laid out early. I think it was Jadon Sancho. But him and McKinney, again, continue to play very well. It's just the quality is the difference. And Leeds controlled a large portion of this game until Erik ten Hag made a couple of moves. And the key move was moving Marcus Rashford into center forward, pulling the number nine back in behind him, Weghorst, and then getting Luke Shaw back out on the left, who just he hit. I mean, this delivery on this goal that Rashford heads in, it's all about this delivery from Luke Shaw. Here's what it sounded like to make it 1-0.
It's wide for Luke Shaw. Rashford! He is the man that they cannot silence. Another standout moment in the season of his life. Goal number 21. And Manchester United lead at Leeds.
So that was a great tactical move from Erik ten Hag. Manchester United was terrible with the ball. Harry Maguire gave the ball away a ton. I don't know what his future is at United, but he was coughing the ball up, and it led to chances. And Leeds just—they don't have a finisher. They can't finish. They don't have quality goal scorers, and this is the difference between teams. This game could have been over if Leeds had finishers. De Gea gave some balls, gave one or two bad balls away as well, although he did come up with some big saves. But it's the difference, and it's the struggle for the Leeds of the world up against the Manchester Uniteds of the world. There's a lot of areas in this game that Leeds was the better team for large portions of the game and controlled it through the way they were playing. It was a blood and guts game, too. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, you get Ten Hag. He gets Luke Shaw out wide, so he can get some delivery, and he gets Rashford in the box, and your hot goal scorer gets on the end of just an exquisite piece of delivery. If you haven't seen it, you got to go on YouTube and look for it. Here's ETH. He's turning things around. He's talking about Rashford. Now, what I want you to note here in this soundbite is that, yes, there's praise, but there's also, you know, there's also a little bit extra there to say that nobody's going to breathe a sigh of relief that we're totally there. Here it is. Listen to this, coach.
You, in general, you said to me, do you have a player in your squad who can score 20 goals in, was it August, September? And I confirmed. I think he can do it. And now, if you are satisfied with it, then it will stop. Because satisfaction is going to laziness. You have to keep investing every day. But when he's keeping the investment and keep the focus in every game and bring the energy in and the belief, and then he will score. And he will keep scoring. And so then I don't know where it will stop. But yeah, he has to go from game to game. And during the week, do the right things.
So listen to that. That's Erik ten Hag talking about a 21 goal scorer. See, I love what this guy's doing. I love the fact that he benched Maguire, he benched Ronaldo. I know I've said it a bunch on this show that I think that got accelerated by poor results against Brentford and poor results against Man City in the beginning. I think it accelerated him really to take charge even more in his first run in the Premier League, coming from the Eredivisie. But I love that. All right, this is Love is Strong by the Rolling Stones. Some of the best harmonica here from Mick Jagger. It's a Valentine's song. Love is strong. Love conquers all, right? All right, quick word here. Want to remind you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John's firm, they are our presenting sponsors. We can't thank John and his firm enough. Personal injury attorneys, they're committed to working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. I say it a lot on the show, but he gets soccer on the airwaves, as do all our sponsors, but he's our presenting sponsor. So if you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you got to call the Daspit Law Firm. You want the best. Few things are worse than accidents, the anxiety of it, injury. That's when you call the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. Bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. They will be on your side just like they're on football's side here. So remember, support those sponsors who support your game. 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com. Supporting soccer matters in the great game of football.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big loser.
I'm a loser. I'm a
loser. Here's to the losers. I bless them all.
Loser.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, I love that put together by Michael Carroll. It ends with that. All right, so the big loser, PGMOL. You're going, what is that? Professional Game Match Officials Limited in England. Now, you heard what Mikel Arteta accused. I'm not going to mention the name's referee because that's not a job I would ever want. But he accused the referee of not understanding his job as a VAR official. And Arsenal's angry. Big mistake. It cost them 2 points in a 1-1 draw against Brentford. 74th minute header, Ivan Toney. That got Brentford a point at the Emirates. The problem was Christian Norgaard assisted the goal from an offside position. The error was admitted by PGMOL and labeled as human error. There was an apology issued to Arsenal. Nonetheless, Arteta was not very happy about this. I mean, here's his quote, so just listen to this. He said, quote, "We ended the game after analyzing all the evidence that we've had with the images with a huge anger and disappointment because that wasn't a human error." Okay, he's saying it wasn't a human error. That was a big not conceiving and understanding your job, and that's not acceptable. I'm sorry, Arteta told the news conference. Quote, and this is him continuing on Arteta. "That cost Arsenal 2 points. That's not going to be restored. We're going to have to find those 2 points somewhere in the league." Well, they can start tomorrow, that's for sure, against City. But he then went on, and I like this part of it a lot because this is important. He then went on and said, "At the same time, we appreciate the apology and the explanations. And we got a lot of sympathy from colleagues in the industry and in football who say that we cannot play the game with the integrity like we do. That's it. We have to move on. That has certainly made the player staff and our fans stronger and given them more desire to pass this hurdle that they put on us. So we are ready for it." Arteta would go on and added, "I will only be satisfied if they give us the 2 points back, which is not going to be the case. I appreciate, I think they were a sincere, open, and genuine apologies, which is really good. But I would simply say, man, if it comes down to those 2 points, oof." And it also reminds us, and it was interesting because Arteta said this was not human error. This was just not somebody who was good at his job. And that is a fact when it comes to VAR. And as much as people think, oh, there's no way you can't make mistakes with VAR, it's still human involvement, and there is human error, and some people are going to be better at it than others. And can you imagine, Andrew, a mistake like that made in this league? But it happens all the time. And we just saw a Super Bowl where there was a very controversial play as well.
Yeah, officiating is a part of all sports, and unless at some point it becomes automated in all facets, you're going to have a human error. That's just the reality of the situation. Now, I agree with Arteta that this sort of error is just simply unacceptable, but at the same time, as long as officials are a part of the game, human error will exist. That's just the reality.
Yeah, but the spotlight is on everybody more now because everybody believes that, you know, through video and VAR and all these mechanisms that we shouldn't make any mistakes and that they will still occur. You know, you had a player who admitted he grabbed the jersey, and then you have a public that says, yeah, but come on, this is not a call you make at that point of a game. That's totally subjective. I mean, I get it. It's a soft call, by the standards of the NFL at that stage of a Super Bowl, I guess. That's what people are saying. It's all about interpretation, and, you know, human error was a little bit more acceptable when you didn't have VAR. Anyway, we move on from that, and it'll be interesting to see how Arsenal comes into this game against Manchester City tomorrow, but they certainly got to forget about that real quick. All right, so City reclaimed themselves against Aston Villa. Let's go to soundbite number six. They take a 1-0 lead, Rodri.
Mahrez with the corner towards Rodri! Just the start they wanted! City galvanized, energized, and leading after only 4 minutes.
2-0, Ilkay Gundogan.
They're in trouble here. It's Erling Haaland. That defense has reset now. Haaland across!
Lots swirling around. City with all these charges, defiant stance being put up by the club, the fans, by Pep Guardiola. Guardiola talks about a really good performance here. Soundbite 8.
We think in general a really good game. Second half better than the first one. We could press high better. We adjust something in the first half. I didn't like it. And the second half was better. Unfortunately, we conceded a goal avoidable again. And our mistake, you have to protect in any circumstances. It doesn't matter where, just in case we lose the ball, and still we're not doing this. But in general, every set pieces had the feeling that we can score. And in general, it was a really good game. So happy for that. And after, of course, the team who is above of us and the people is in level with us or behind us or drop points, that's why it's important to take this. Finally, this opportunity to reduce the gap with Arsenal.
So a 3-1 win over Aston Villa. Pep Guardiola obviously wasn't going to get out of a press conference without being asked about what's going on with all these accusations about accounting and the things, these 100-plus charges apparently. So here's soundbite number 11. Pep Guardiola not forgetting the actions of the established Premier League elite. I'm having a hard time saying that because I would imagine that Man City's in that PL elite as well.
What these nine teams has done, I said before what happened last Monday, yeah? What these nine teams has done, I don't forget it. These nine teams, I don't forget what they have done. They won the position in the Champions League for the big amount of money to pay the stadiums they built, so it's okay. But we want it now. Because after that, they can be suspicious, it's okay. It's okay. They doubt about us. It's okay. They are accusation. It's okay. Wait. No, because here we can't go no to that. You know, our lawyer said, listen, we have done this, that happened in UEFA. Wait. They didn't. Not even 1 second.
Tomorrow it's Arsenal City. We've also got Champions League with Dortmund, Chelsea, Bruges, and Benfica. Of course, Benfica is the big winners in the transfer window, securing a lot of money after Chelsea making the purchase. I'm going to go on to now Arsenal and Brentford here. Trossard getting his for Arsenal to put them up 1-0 against Brentford at home.
Arsenal support at their loudest. Odegaard. Now Saka. And it's been jabbed in by the substitute, Leandro Trossard. What an introduction.
Here's the tying goal. That was the controversial goal from Ivan Toney after that delivery from a player in an offside position.
Norgaard. Norgaard again. Brentford level. Ivan Toney races across to Thomas Frank. It was the industry of Christian Norgaard which did it really for Brentford then.
Now, I should have played this soundbite after we did our loser segment with PGMOL, but here's Arteta. And this is Arteta talking about, this is soundbite number 16 on the VAR mistake.
Yeah, we ended the game after analyzing all the evidence that we had on the images with a huge anger and disappointment. Because that wasn't a human error. That was a a big, big, big not conceiving and understanding their job. And that's not acceptable. I'm sorry. And that cost Arsenal 2 points, and that's not going to be restored. So we're going to have to find those 2 points somewhere else in the league. But at the same time, we appreciate the apology. We appreciate the explanations, which were really open, to be fair. And we got a lot of sympathy from a lot of colleagues in the industry, in football, that they are talking that we cannot play with the integrity of the game in the way that we do. And that's it. And we have to move on. That certainly has made the players, staff, and our fans even stronger and with more desire to pass this hurdle that they put on us. So we are ready for it.
So that's basically the soundbite and the quote that I had read earlier, and that was Arteta presenting it. Here's his verdict on the Arsenal performance in this one.
Yeah, I think it was a really strong performance. I think we had moments. I think it's a very tricky team to play against, and they have shown that, so credit to them as well, because the results that they got against the top team is just not a coincidence. But I think we did a lot in the game, and we insisted a lot, and we did the most difficult thing, to score the goal. So after so early to happen what happened in the way it happened, it is frustrating, but this is the Premier League.
It is the Premier League. Pep Guardiola will come in with Manchester City on a high after a win over Aston Villa. Arteta thinks his squad has had a good match against Brentford. Here he is now. That's two games in a row without a win for the first time this season. Here's him, soundbite number 15 on that.
Yeah, you want to win as quick as possible. We wanted to win today, but you see how difficult it is for every single team to win consecutive matches. And that's when you look at the table, the amount of points that they have, it's for a reason. So you need to be excellent in everything you're doing in the matches. And then you need to make certain decisions to gain your favor as well. And it's a lot of things.
45th minute right now, live. It's Tigres and Juarez, 0-0. You've also got going on right now other Mexican League matches. Club America is going to play a little bit later tonight. You've also got León and Puebla right now. First half stoppage time. León a little bit more possession in this one, according to the statistics and data here. They are 0-0, and then later on tonight, you will get San Luis and Club America. All right, this is called Sea of Love. Love, Sea of Love. Legendary Blind Faith. Some of my more interesting picks are coming up, though, for break music. By the way, Monterrey is on top of the Liga MX table, 15 points, and their great rivals, Tigres on 14, in action tonight. We continue on. Before we go to break, though, quick word here. I want to remind you about two things. Vantage BMW in Midtown, you're going to experience premier service. It's tailored to you. Get down there. I'm in an X5. I've always gotten my cars from the Vantage BMW in Midtown because of that excellence. And it's not just offered down there, it's expected. The sales team. I get my cars from Justin down there over the years, Serge Martinez in the past. Expert sales team can help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You'll discover something special. It's a hometown advantage, San Jacinto and Gray. AdvantageBMWHouston.com, Advantage BMW in Midtown. Also, Lamont Brands. I told you we got the trucker hat. It's available. Some people were saying, hey, we went to the website, we couldn't get them. You can get them now. It's LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts or your Soccer Matters trucker hats. And they are really cool. These are all going to be proceeds donated back to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Additionally, Cyfair Dynamos and Olivier Finidori, that great soccer club, historic, started in 1989 in Houston. Out in the Cyfair area, they will be doing the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic on the 12th of March, dynamosoccer.com. That's where you sign up. I hope to see a lot out there. And it's open to anybody. It's a lot of game playing, small-sided games, a lot of technique work, but with the whole theme of the importance of pediatric cancer awareness. A lot of guests out there as well. DynamoSoccer.com to sign up for the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic hosted by Dynamo Soccer Club for the 17th. Yes, I said that. 17th straight year.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.